Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Let's settle down. Do you hear that sound? Saints and singers gather round. There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down at Choristers Lounge. From far and near, won't you come and hear a sweet, melodious call? Let us all unite in one accord. We're family after all. So let's settle down and listen to the sound of the singers in Choristers Lounge. There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down at the lounge.
Right, and good afternoon and welcome to the inaugural kickoff recording of the Choristers Lounge. My name is Matthew Caldwell, and I'll be your host for today's session. Again, I want to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Just looking forward to having some great conversation and just really honing in on some of those things that can really help to encourage and promote and educate and inspire our choristers and just any interested souls kingdom-wide. So with this inaugural podcast recording, one of the first things that we wanted to do was to just kind of introduce the various panelists that will be participating, not just in this recording, but in future episodes as well. And I thought the best way to do that was to have each of the panelists to, or who are choristers, of course, to introduce themselves, to say where they currently hail from, when and where they were appointed a chorister, and by whom. So I like to start with our seasoned choristers. We have a great panel here of seasoned choristers and some of our newer choristers as well. So just to kind of get us started, I want to just welcome in St. Lisa Farrar-Eves to the Choristers Lounge and give her an opportunity to introduce herself and give us her her information as far as when, where, and by whom she was appointed a chorister. St. Lisa, all hail.
All hail. My name is St. Lisa Farrar-Eves. I currently am a member at First Tabernacle, Atlanta, Georgia. I was appointed a chorister officially in September 1982 by Evangelist Moses Farrar in Brooklyn, New York.
Beautiful. And how long would that be since 1982?
42 years.
42 years and ain't got tired yet. Amen and amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Brother Rich, all hail, sir. Welcome to the lounge. So same question for you. When were you appointed? Where? By whom? And how long is that? Have you been serving?
All hail, sir.
All hail.
Richard Hurt. I am now and have been most of my life in Wilmington, Delaware. Appointed by Elder John Prince Walker in 1992, April of 1992. So I guess I'm 10 years behind you, St. Lisa.
I'm not good at math, but I guess that puts you around, what, 32 years?
32 years.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so just looking at the rest of the panelists, I think I would be next. So, again, my name is Brother Matthew Caldwell. I was appointed a chorister in December of 2002 by Rabbi J.U. August Crowder Jr., Grandfather Abraham. So I think if my math is correct, that puts me at around 12, 20. I guess that's 22 years as a chorister. So yes, I've considered it an honor to serve in that capacity. Looking forward to many more years to come. So I think next going around the panel here would be Brother Isaiah Blackston. Brother Blackston, welcome to the podcast. So same question for you. When, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
All right. All hail, sir. Everyone. I currently reside in Cleveland, Ohio. I was appointed a chorister in early 2013 by Evangelist Sub Johnson. That's about Sub Johnson.
Beautiful.
Southern Pines, North Carolina.
Beautiful. So that puts you at about, you said 2013?
13. So I'm in my 11th year.
My Lord. Beautiful. All right. And I think next will be St. Naomi Shepherd. All hail St. Naomi. Same question for you. When, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
St. Naomi Shepherd from Seventh Tabernacle, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I became a chorister November 2018 by Rabbi Brent.
Beautiful. So that puts you at six years?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Kind of what where I wanted to start today is just in terms of a question, just to kind of get our general juices flowing, just to kind of get some conversation started. So, you know, each of us were approached with this idea of the Chorister's Lounge and the overall focus for the Chorister's Lounge being to provide a platform where choristers could, you know, sharpen our tools in a way that wouldn't be hindered by, you know, us being separated. Like I said, right now I'm looking at Atlanta, I'm looking at Wilmington, I'm looking at Harrisburg, looking at Ohio, looking at Southern New Jersey, looking at, you know, Washington, D.C. So this idea of being able to come together in this type of forum allows us to share ideas unhindered by geographical locations. But in addition to that, we also have a great kind of mixture of ages and experiences within the realm of being a chorister, right? So it's an opportunity for those of us that have been in the field a little while to share some best practices, to hear and learn from maybe some of the newer ideas that some of the newer choristers have. So just kind of wanted to just get your thoughts on what you personally would like to get out or get from this podcast, the Choristers Lounge, what some things that you would like to see come from it, and just how best you think that this Choristers Lounge can be used as a tool to really help us all to sharpen our tools. So just any thoughts that you have on that. So I'll just kind of start the same way that I started with the first question. St. Lisa, what do you think? When you hear Choristers Lounge, you know, what were your thoughts? You know, what would you like to see come out of this podcast?
I see it as the word lounge struck me. So I get from that it should be a comfortable and open setting where we feel free to exchange ideas, nothing too formal or too rigid, but still to the glory and honor of God and the bringing up the standard still of Kakasak, but in a more comfortable and relaxed setting as opposed to a formal choir rehearsal or formal teaching or setting.
Brother Rich, what do you think? Choristers Lounge, what comes to mind? What do you think would be beneficial for us to kind of get out of this?
For me, it's an exchange of ideas, learning from those who may be more seasoned, more experienced, and also the reverse, learning from the younger choristers because things change. People change. Ideas, new ideas are always fresh and it's good, but not to get too far from our foundation. So that's when I hear that, that's what comes to my mind.
Awesome. Brother Blackson, what do you think? Choristers Lounge, what comes to mind?
All right, for me, I just want to say I agree with the first two speakers. sharing perspectives and just seeing a new level of insight. St. Lisa mentioned like this level of comfortability we have. And I know when we have formal settings and the rehearsals where we're in our familiar spaces and where we have to kind of like, you know, be uptight a little bit, or some might not be as comfortable. I'm seeing names and people that I don't normally hear from, right? So I'm interested to see how they respond to things, interested to see their level of innovation and all of that. So that's how I feel.
Awesome. Awesome. Say, Naomi, what say ye?
Okay. When I heard Choristers Lounge, I automatically thought about, like, a safe space. And I agree with everyone, like, the idea. Specifically with what Brother Rich said, the new learning ideas, the experiences, the teachings, like, the new can learn from the experience and vice versa.
I too just want to kind of give my personal thought about it. Of course, the Choristers Lounge was not an idea that I came up with. I'm honored to have been recommended to be one of the hosts for the lounge. But I definitely think that it is an idea whose time has come as we move into the 21st century. And my sincere appreciation to our leader chief Rabbi Philip Eugene McNeil, just for how he's guided the congregation through these times and allowed the use of technology in a way that maybe heretofore, right, had not been thought of, or it had been thought of, but maybe have been a little hesitation, some trepidation in terms of how we could use it best. But we've seen a lot of new appointments relative to choristers specifically. And sometimes, you know, and this is kind of will lead to another question that I'll ask here in a little bit. But sometimes we're put in these offices and we're not really given a blueprint, right? The only blueprint that we have is, you know, kind of taking what we've seen from some of those folks that were in those offices before and just kind of using that as a guide for what we're going to do, you know, kind of moving forward. But this type of platform is very, very popular in the world right now, right? There are podcasts everywhere, right? So when the idea came from Brother Blake about this whole Choristers podcast, and certainly kind of feeding on the Shepherd's podcast, we want to give a shout out to the Shepherd's podcast, Brother Darian Williams of Brooklyn, just kind of, you know, our first kind of toe in the water, so to speak, of this podcast world. When Brother Blake kind of saw that, I was like, this is a great idea. And just everything that you all have said about there being a format, a comfortable format, we're still, with it being comfortable, still kind of keeping in mind the standards of CogSoc and the Union Choir and everything like that. So what we can do, you know, with that, with this platform, I think is huge. And it's all about positivity, right? We want to be there. There are not going to be any right or wrong, and there will be some best practices and things like that. But we're here to learn, right? We're here to learn. We're here to strengthen each other. And like they say, iron sharpeneth iron. There's not going to be anything that's going to be too small for us to tackle. There will be some times that the topics will be something that I have absolutely no interest in, but because it's going to be helpful, it's going to be something that we're definitely going to want to, you know, talk about and talk through. All right. So St. Leah, I see that you are back. Let's see if that microphone allows you to unmute. Let's see, can you okay? Hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Beautiful. So we're going to backtrack for you. So tell us when, where, and by whom you were appointed a chorister.
Yes, sir. So I was appointed on April 13th of 2024 by Rabbi Carr in the D.C. Tabernacle.
Amen. So St. Lee has been on the job for, what's that, three months? God bless. God bless. And you know what? That actually, St. Leah, keep your mic unmuted. So one of the other things that we're going to talk a little bit about today, kind of just one of the topics that we kind of threw out there, is this idea of a chorister's preparation throughout the course of the week. But before I do that, St. Leah, with you being such a new chorister, and this is going to be a question for all of us, but since it's so fresh and so new for you, what are some things that you wish you would have known before you became a chorister, right? Like I said, there hasn't been a blueprint for any of this, right? And again, this is a safe space, St. Leah. There's no right or wrong answer. This is your opinion, right? But what are some things that you wish you would have known, wish you would have been told about, you know, those type of things, you know, when it comes to being a chorister? And, you know, another question to that, who were some of your inspirations in terms of maybe wanting you to become a chorister? So some things you may have wished you would have known. Something you're still learning, and maybe some of your inspirations as far as who inspired you to be a chorister. So we'll start with you, just because you're so new into your journey.
Yes, sir. Some things I wish I would have known. Well, honestly, I'm not quite sure, because I'm learning a lot now, and there are still a lot of things that I may not have thought of yet. But, you know, just always being prepared. And normally, with these type of things, I use my intuition, you know, just think, I feel like I may have to lead a song today, and that's normally how it goes. It may not be like that all the time, but just always being prepared. I just didn't know it would happen this fast, but that is something that I wish I would have known beforehand. But I do feel more prepared, even though it's been a couple of months. I've had a very great hands-on experience with everyone in the DC Tabernacle. But some of my biggest inspirations, I say, Brother Matthew, you have been my biggest inspiration since I can start remembering things just in Philadelphia. Like, it's always been you and St. Raquel. But yes, you all have been my biggest inspiration since I was, like, extremely little.
Oh, God bless. God bless. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So thank you for that, St. Lee. That was absolutely perfect. And I'll tell you, you know, St. Lisa, you know, Brother Rich, those of us that have been here 20 plus years. Yeah, there's a lot of training. We don't know it all. We do not. We're learning almost every day. So, you know, just embrace that journey. Embrace that journey and just know there will never come a point where you know it all. We're growing as we're, you know, in this journey, and things change. Things that we thought we knew sometimes, you know, may be adjusted. And that's okay, right? We just kind of have to stay flexible, stay green. As our former leader says, stay green and you'll grow. All right. So St. Naomi, same question for you. You know, some things that you, just kind of looking back on, some things that you wish you would have known maybe earlier on, some of your inspirations as well.
Like St. Leah said, like, being prepared, because I know, like, when I was first starting off, like, being a chorister, like, after I got appointed, but, like, still newly fresh to it, like, visiting other tabernacles, you know, I'm just there for the service to enjoy the service, but they about to put me in rotation as well, so preparation was one. And honestly, I did not want to become a chorister, but it just so happened that I did. And the funny thing, growing up, I always loved music. Like, any song on the radio played, I knew the lyrics. So, like, something told me, but now that I think back on it, that should have been a key thing. Like, me just being in the choir is not going to stop there. So.
So I have a follow. Oh, and right before you do that second part. So why not? Why weren't you interested in being a chorister?
That wasn't my focus. Like, that wasn't something I, like, aspired to be, but it just so happened it was a part of God's plan, so.
Amen and amen. All right, in the second half, yes, ma'am, who are some of your inspirations?
Mm-hmm. St. Valerie, for sure, because I know back during assemblies when we had workshops for, like, the youth, I know she was a part of, like, the workshop instructor, and she used to teach us songs. And St. Raquel, for some reason, I always was fantasized with her crown. Like, it was just always beautiful to me. So I always just be like, especially during Whole Armor, I believe. So.
Awesome. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, St. Naomi. Brother Isaiah, same question for you. Some of the things that, you know, you wish you would have known kind of coming into that chorister's office, and then some of your inspirations.
All right. I'm not going to lie. That question kind of stumped me, because I don't know what I could say, what I wish I would have known, because I can't say that this is something that you would have known. Well, my answer is kind of something that you learn over time with experience, right? So the thing that I come up with is pacing myself, and understanding that it's a marathon, right? I know when I first started out, I can't speak for any of the young choruses, but when I was young, it was all about you know, what's going to get them going. Like, what you see in your head, how you want it to go. And understanding that if it doesn't go that way, or, you know, it's not the end all be all. It's not about that even, you know, just that comes with experience, that comes with growth. And I feel like it's blessings in that, in the journey too, and the mishaps. You learn to grow in your falls and all of that. So inspirations, I have a few names. Nat, you're definitely at the top of that list. I think I speak for everybody. It's kind of universal. But I think of, you know, Brother Blake Housen. I think of Brother John Roberts. I think of, on a local side, I think of my uncle, Brother Lawrence Schamberger. Specifically him, because it's only two men that I can remember in the Church of God of Saints of Christ that, like, made it acceptable or cool to sing falsetto in our music, you know. And that's Brother Jimmy Dyson and my uncle. So that kind of, I was like, well,
that's awesome. That is awesome. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for that, Brother Isaiah. So I'll go next. I thought that was a great, great answer, Brother Isaiah. Pacing. So some of the things that you know, if I could go back and I honestly think that some of the things that you want to know, kind of as a courser, those are things that you will eventually learn, right? That part about pacing, and I don't think any of us, as we look back on it, we realize that we were not as prepared. Now that word has come back, you know, from, you know, Saint Leah, you know, Saint Naomi, about just being prepared. We think that we know kind of, you know, what the job entails. We think that, you know, yeah, I can get up there and I can, you know, wave the baton and things like that. But just being prepared for what the lifestyle of a course, I think that would be the one thing. This is a lifestyle that I'm entering into, right? Our reestablisher said, right, religion is not something to get, right, but it's a duty, something to do all the time. And it's very, very similar to what we have, what our calling is as choristers, right? So there's a certain level of preparedness that I have to do, you know, Sunday through Friday afternoon, so that I'm ready, you know, on beginning of the Sabbath and Sabbath day. So just the idea of, you know, building a lifestyle conducive to what the job entails as far as being a courser. That was one thing that was, somebody would have told me, like, hey, you know, just, you know, being able to direct and lead songs is great. But there's a whole lifestyle approach that you have to take to that. So that's something that, you know, would have just been a good heads up. Like, Brother Matthew, yeah, you know, there's just know there's a little bit more to it than just the leading of the choir. As far as some of my inspirations, I love what you said, Brother Isaiah, because you have inspirations that, or aspirations, people that inspire you from various levels, right? You have people that you see on the general level. You have people that you see on the local level. And I'll mention this one name for somebody on the local level, because that's important. It's what you see week in and week out, you know, beginning of the Sabbath day, Tuesday evening choir rehearsal, you know, all those types of things. So I'll say a couple of mine would be Brother David Valkins, who was the head chorister of the Zion Tabernacle for most of my time there in Zion. So from, I want to say, early 90s to when my father was reassigned to Newark to 2002, Brother Valkins was the head chorister. So that's the head chorister that I saw week in and week out. Of course, you had people like Brother Reginald Farrar, people like St. Marguerite Bradfield, St. Corinna Sturdivant. Then you had other folks that would come in to help us with concerts, like Brother J.C. Carey Sr. Of course, Brother then Elder James Speller. I had a great affinity and love for a man by the name of Brother William Beaufort. And I have to take my hat off, you know, just for our late Grand Bandmaster, Elder Charles David Plummer, who just took a liking to young people, all right? Myself, Brother Sean Roberts, used to have Brother Sean Roberts to sing the song When Friends Around You Prosper. He just gave us an opportunity, right? So it was just a few people that inspired me and encouraged me throughout the course of my journey. All right. Brother Rich, same question for you. You know, some things you would have known kind of at the beginning. I know we're going back about 30 plus years for you. So most things you know now, but then some folks that inspired you as well, sir.
Something that I wish I would have known then that I do know now is the choir does not work on autopilot all the time. The same group of people may be a different group depending on which week it is. So you've got to learn how to navigate and notice certain things with different people. They might not be feeling as well one week. Everything affects their singing. Conditions in the building, weather. I mean, so many things I wish I would have known then, because you think just because it worked this time, it'll work next time. That don't always work.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I wish that my dad would have told me. As far as my inspirations, my grandfather, Brother Nate Hurt Sr., self-taught musician, and he composed a lot of songs, and to watch him work in choir rehearsal, I mean, anytime he stood in front of the choir was ready, he was on fire. And that trickled down to my dad, who I think he took it to a whole different level. I had an appreciation for him as a child. I would always like, help my dad to direct, help my dad to direct. I was hoping they would call him to direct, because it was like every time he stood in front of the choir, he got a certain response. And I was like, wow, where does this guy come from? You know, seeing him work in choir rehearsal was always amazing to me. And this was before I knew that my dad went to school for music. I didn't learn that until later on. So what I found out, that really kind of made me hone in on him a lot. So I would pick his brain and pick his brain. And, you know, I learned a lot from him. Elder Stevens, he would come to Wilmington and work with the choir in Wilmington. And, you know, he took a liking to me. And this was before I was a chorister. I mean, I became a chorister in 92. And he shortly thereafter passed away. But when I went to him, I saw him at that Passover. He said, "You finally made it." And I was looking at him like, I didn't know this was what I was supposed to do. You know, but it felt good to know that he had been watching me. And Elder Plummer, of course, that was my heart right there. So just sitting and talking to him and learning a lot about him, even as a little boy, I gravitate towards him just to listen to him talk, because he always has something to say. Funny, but he was very, very knowledgeable. So people like that, and there were other courses around the kingdom that I kind of was drawn to, but those were my go-tos right there. And then learning about Elder Walker being a chorister, sitting under him for 23 years, you know, as the pastor of my tabernacle in Wilmington, I learned a lot about the choir and just music, you know, and he was a part of my inspiration for going to school for music to study. So, you know, all those guys, those gentlemen were, and St. Marguerite Bradfield, I mean, that goes without saying for me. She's always amazing.
Absolutely.
So even in her older days, she's still amazing.
Absolutely.
Those were my people.
Absolutely. That was awesome. And right before I turned over to St. Lisa, a person that I forgot, that I don't know how I forgot, was St. Val. And I think St. Naomi mentioned it. I St. Valerie Farrar Dues has her hand all over my musical career. Don't know where I would be without her. So I absolutely had to, you know, pause and make mention of St. Valerie as well. And St. Valerie, one of St. Valerie's sisters, and we're going to hear from right now. So St. Lisa, same question for you. You know, some things that you wish you would have known as a young chorister, like Brother Rich said, some things that you probably have learned over the course of 40 plus years, and then some of your inspirations as well.
Okay, here we go. So I will say that, not that I knew everything, but yes, I wasn't totally surprised. It was such a part of my life as a young child, and Brother Rich mentioned this too. So when your father's a head local chorister at the time in Philadelphia when I was born, and then a district chorister for the Northeast as I got a little older. So I traveled around with him a lot to, we didn't have babysitting in those days, apparently, because I was a Tuesday night rehearsal.
Bring him to church. Me, bring him Norman to church. The church will babysit you.
And then go off and play and do other things. We sat in the congregation, but in the choir rehearsal, and had to be quiet. If we made like a lot of noise, they're looking at us. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years old, expecting us to be quiet for a 2-hour choir rehearsal on Tuesday nights. So this is the environment in which I was brought up in. And then, like I said, on the district side, I got to travel to a lot of tabernacles and see different people, you know, and seeing music being taught. So although my father was not a musician by training, most of it came to him by ear. And that, you know, has its pluses and its minuses, but I feel like he had a blueprint on how to teach Kagasop music. I came up in an era where people were really dedicated to the choir. And if you weren't dedicated to the choir, you were spoken to and released sometimes. So imagine Rabbi Crowdy Sr. as your pastor. And my father was just like him in pastoring, in that you don't meet a certain standard in Brooklyn or wherever, then the congregation is waiting for you. So then by the time my era comes and I try to be, you don't meet a certain standard, we're in a whole different era now. You can't, I had to learn, you, those singers then are not the singers now. So it took a long time to adjust to a shifting standard. I don't know, I'm being politically correct, but it was definitely a major shift from total dedication on Tuesday night, Friday night, and Sabbath morning at 9 o'clock to what I experienced more in my 40s and 50s with what we're left with right now. And you have to encourage singers and help singers, and it's just a whole different mindset. And it took me a while to make that shift, to understand that the dedication level has changed. And everybody is not exposed to the same things. Everybody is not taught the same things. So you have to go a little easier on people. I would say Brother Nate Hurt, I can remember distinctly him giving a presentation at an assembly. He was very strict also. If you can't hear a note, then maybe you can't sing the note. I can just hear so many, you know. He was strict, and I came up in that era and got the last of it, and I feel like now it's a little different. But my wonderful inspirations are, of course, my father without saying, but bringing some of the females in. Saying Marguerite Bradfield, of course, as the Yellow Top, was my first exposure to a female chorister. And she was an alto. So hands down, that's my top influence, because being able to pitch a song in soprano and make it comfortable and be a true alto is, you know, it takes some work. But I had an inspiration there. I mean, I can still hear her voice singing, "I, William S. Crowdy, am a prophet of God." Just the pitch on that sent chills through me. So St. Marguerite Bradfield was my first.
My Lord.
And alto idol. Next was St. Martha Cherry, of course, in Brooklyn. Now, what made St. Martha Cherry, this is a bit of history, different, is at the time when I grew up, this is for Naomi and Leah, female choristers, I'll be politically correct, were subordinate to male choristers, significantly subordinate to male choristers. And so you didn't get many opportunities. And you know, our leader has changed a lot of that. and it has changed over time. But St. Martha Cherry was an exception. She was given permission to be the head female chorister of the Brooklyn Choir back in the 70s and 80s. So when I came to Brooklyn, I saw a head female chorister. Now, she was the only one, and I can be corrected as far as I know, who was a head female chorister in the local tabernacle. She was the exception. So I got to see that exception, and I had some hope. I never thought I'd see this day where we are right now, of being on the pulpit, of wearing talus, of you guys just have no idea. We couldn't even open the service. I remember one time I opened a choir rehearsal, and they were like, she's opening a choir rehearsal like she's a male chorister. I got reported for opening, like standing out in the middle of the floor, opening. This is how far back I go. So St. Martha Cherry was definitely an idol. She was also one of the first female district choristers, assistant district chorister, excuse me, assistant district chorister. So again, with these people, St. Marguerite Bradfield, St. Martha Cherry, I got to see hope, like there's hope for us to be an equal contributor to the spirit and the work of God. Now, there are some male choristers, of course, who I idolized, and that would be Brother Jacob Carey Sr. I learned my marching style, tempo, keeping time from Brother Carey. And I will tell you, as a male chorister, he's had the most influence. He was in Brooklyn at the time when I was made a chorister. And he, again, some people say I marched the choir pretty well. I give most of that to Brother Carey and my father, of course, making sure you got to be on your left foot. So choristers, choir's on their right, but you're on your left. So getting that beat in your dominant left foot is something, you know, that I had to learn. But Brother Carey really taught me a lot about marching the choir. Again, St. Martha Cherry, about, well, she was a soprano and a beautiful soloist. She also had a good spirit of including the young people in everything. I was in training for 2 years before I became a chorister, from 16 to 18. And she was very instrumental in, you know, showing me the ropes. And at the time, also, we were allowed to have more than one seat in the middle of the floor. So I sat next to her for, you know, several years. It was she and I in the middle of the floor together. So those kind of role models, I hope you all still have some, but those kind of role models are rare. And I find myself most blessed to have people like my father, Brother Carey, Sister Bradfield, and St. Martha Cherry as my role models.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I can attest to that. Thankfully, the Lord has preserved Evangelist Farrar. We're still here, still willing to, you know, share his wisdom. So I certainly benefit from that here in the Zion Tabernacle. But absolutely, and I think that's really beautiful, just to kind of see the various role models that we have just represented here, you know, amongst us, amongst this panel today. So one thing I did just kind of want to transition to, so something that both Saint Naomi and Saint Leah mentioned about preparation for chorister. I just kind of want to go around the room again, just in terms of a couple of things. So when you hear this idea, or when somebody throws out the term preparation, right? Preparation for a chorister. What exactly does that look like for you? How does your preparation for, you know, the Sabbath, beginning of the Sabbath, Sabbath day, what does that look like for you over the course of the week? Is there anything that you think would be beneficial to share, you know, with, you know, maybe younger choristers that are coming in? And from the young chorister side, you know, what are some things that you're doing to try to get yourself ready and prepared to serve on the Sabbath? So I'll start this one. With Brother Rich. When we hear about preparation, what kind of comes to mind were some things that have worked for you? Maybe some things we want to share with other choristers moving forward.
For me, one of the big things is to stay focused, not just during, you know, the Sabbath, the beginning of the Sabbath, but you have to be focused during the week. So this thing has to be a part of you daily. It has to be a part of your routine. I find myself singing every day, not just Kagasak songs, but I find myself as a musician, that's just a practice for me. I'm sitting outside, I'm listening to music, I'm singing. Like, you have to stay tuned in. Because if you're tuned in, then you're tuned up. Somebody says, don't get ready, stay ready. You know? So my dad always told me to stay ready. You'll hear me reference him a lot because we spent, of course, growing up in the same house. And even as an adult, coming back to the house, he would call me and I'm sitting with him and we're just talking about music on all scales, just music. So one of his things was to be prepared, stay prepared at all times, because you never know when you're going to be called for anything, whether it's in service or whether it's out in the world or whatever. You never know when you're going to be called. So for me, being prepared is to stay tuned, stay locked in at all times. Don't take it for granted that it's just going to happen by osmosis, because there are some times where it won't happen. And you can stand up there and draw a blank, and you'll just be standing there looking really silly with this blank stare on your face trying to remember what you thought you wanted to do. Another thing is that you have to stay tuned into the spirit, because I don't care what, some people will come with a list of songs. My dad would tell me, leave your songbook sitting down there in your chair cupboard. Don't bring it up here. He said, learn to tune into the spirit. Let the spirit guide and direct you. So when you're tuned in and you're listening, certain things will be said while reading of the siddur. Whatever you thought you were going to do, as soon as that choir stands up, you're in a different direction because the spirit just took you. And you have to be open to listening to the spirit and going in that direction with it. Because the moment you try to do something different, that's, you're going to see like a train wreck. It's just not going to work out. And if you're smart, you'll learn to come right back around to what you should have done in the first place instead of trying to force something. So preparation, those are the things I think about. Like, you have to be thinking about it ahead of time before you're in a position and you're just like, I don't know what to do now. Because you never know what you're going to walk into either. Sometimes we have these rotations. Sometimes rotation ain't rotating. So you might be up this week, and little do you know, you'll be up next week too. It's just the nature of the business, the position. It just, you have to be ready at all times. When you say amen on the Sabbath, you better keep on rolling and start preparing for the next Sabbath, because at any point in time, your number might be picked and your name is called. So you'll be up. That's what I get from that.
Yes, sir. Awesome, awesome, Brother Blackston. What do you think when you hear the word preparation? What do you think? What's worked for you? What are some things you think about?
You know, a lot of times when people say, "Man, I was thinking the same thing," and you be thinking in your head, like, "Yeah, I bet you was." But Brother Ritz, he really is. He's touching on a lot of the same points, and it's crazy. Like, he said something earlier that I wanted to harp on when he said, "Let me try to paraphrase." When he said, what worked this week may not work next week, right? So understanding that there's a term that we talk about. A lot of people say, I had to learn reading a room. You're walking into, and that's, I feel that's just another way of tuning into the spirit, understanding, you know. And I feel it's good to have preparation. I'm learning with my own levels of preparation. I'm not the best with it. I'm always singing. I'm always listening to music. I'm always trying new things. But I believe it was Rabbi Levi that said we should leave a certain openness to our prayers. And like Brother Richard said, I think we should also leave a openness to our preparation, because that's there as and I don't want to offend anybody, but I feel it's like a safety net, not in a bad way, but you know, you can have your list, you can have the things you're attuned in, but if you come in and you see that someone in the congregation may be going through something, they might have had a rough week, you know, that you might be privy to, or maybe you don't even know their business, but you can just see that by reading the room. You may have to veer off, detour, and go over here. So, and I feel it's always a reward in that. That's the reward for me. It's not about the ego. It's when somebody comes up to you afterwards and they tell you, man, you know, I was going through something. You know, I saw this and that, and you don't know what this song did for me, or this lifted my spirits. I may have been contemplating this and this. So it's a lot of things with being open in your preparation and being in tune, like Brother Richard said, that you're ministering in ways you don't even realize, right? So
That's awesome. And right before you mute Bill Isaiah, I just had another question about preparation specifically for you. You mentioned about, you know, being able to singing those falsetto ranges. Is there anything that you do specifically for your voice during the week? Anything that you want to share with us? And same thing, you know, Brother Rich, St. Lisa, St. Leah, St. Naomi, anything that you all do as far as vocal preparation specifically? You want to touch on that as well? Anything that you do, Brother Isaac? Because I'm very curious. I'm trying to work on my little falsetto too.
No, listen.
I may not get there with you, but I'm trying.
Now listen, like I said, same for preparation as me with my vocal, taking care of my voice, I can do better than that as well. But I will say, I'm always singing, right? Maybe to a fault. Like, I've had friends who got on their nerves.
No such thing. No such. Right. Don't let nobody tell you that. But, no such thing.
You know, just trying new things. Learning to be vulnerable in a space where before you take it to the world, like, even if I think that I might not be able to do it, I'm going to just try it. And then when I see that I can't do it, okay, I know that now. You know what I mean? Because I think knowing what you offer is very important, especially in this church. I've grown up under the notion that, for instance, we'll just talk about range. We operate on spirit a lot and in tune with the spirit. But I'm under the firm belief that, you know, spirit. You know, spirit is not going to spirit does override logic, but there's some times to where if you know that this is not, like, if you know, this is not my range, I'm not going to come in and try this just because the spirit is going to take over, you know? And I had to learn that because growing up, it's like, people just let the spirit have his way. And there is let the spirit have his way, but there's a control narrative with that, right? Like, knowing what you offer, and that comes with practice, preparation, studying. So I would say I'm always singing, always in tune with different styles and sounds, aspects, learning, and all of that. So, yeah.
Man, that's a conversation for another day. Spirit and logic. That we're gonna have to read that. that's one of these other topics down the line, Brother Blackson. That's all right. Yes, sir. Spirit and logic when it comes to choruses. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm taking notes. Taking notes on that. Say St. Lisa, preparation. What do you think? What do you think?
Well, as the other speakers have said, it's gotta, and even you, Brother Matthew, it's gotta be something pretty much daily. Even if you're not singing daily, are you thinking about it daily? Are you, you know, it's mental preparation, you know, because it actually starts in the mind. You know how on Friday night your mind tricks you and tells your body how tired it is. So that's why, you know, you could be fine all week. Sure. And then 12 o'clock Friday, your body just want to say, it ain't going to make it. You know, every Friday night I'm listening to music. All through the week I'm listening to music. I'm thinking about what I'm going to direct, but I am nimble with the spirit as to what's going to actually happen. So even sitting in the tabernacle 9 o'clock Sabbath morning, I was debating whether I'm going to let the head chorister know I don't think today's my day. Because, first of all, I don't ever want to get up unprepared, are not giving my best. That's, it's more important for me to let someone else do it than for me to to shine or just to be out there. But lo and behold, we had an excellent miracle working testimony yesterday, right before the service, of someone beating cancer. And it was so moving, speaking about the spirit. I did direct the choir. And, you know, the person afterwards and all the saints were like, my God, you went off today. And I was just thinking to myself, if y'all only knew how I was feeling less than 10 hours ago, you would not believe. But as you all said, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So my mind was right. Everything else was right. But the body was a little slow in catching up. And then when that spirit kicked in with that testimony, even the body had to be subdued, because your mind can tell your body what it cannot. I mean, we was prancing like horses in the valley. We were shouting all over the place yesterday. And I know it was the spirit. So I say all that to say, if you're in tune, if you're ready, if you're primed, it can even overcome physical ailments.
Awesome. Thank you, St. Lisa. So now we're going to turn to right before I get, I'm probably going to end this one with St. Naomi, but St. Leah. So as far as preparation, you know, what comes to mind when you hear the word preparation, some things that have worked for you, like I said, even on three months in, and just kind of working through your own individual process, you know, what have you found that works for you as far as your preparation?
So that is a very big question, because there are many different things that I think about throughout the week. But mainly, just like how Brother Isaiah said, I just sing. That's how it is. And sometimes I do it so much I don't even realize I'm doing it. And I'll be singing something and Rachel will pop her head through the door and harmonize with me. And I'm just like, what just happened? Yeah. But when we get to the Sabbath, one thing that I've realized just from personal experience in the past 3 months, that you have to be prepared to be, you know, receptive, not just to the spirit changing what songs you want to lead, but just the spirit of the people. Like, we've all led at least once in front of a choir that was not really receptive. And so we just can't take those things personally, because we don't know what happens to people through the week. And things may happen to us during the week, but my mom always tells me, Leah, you've got to be a wounded healer sometimes. And that's just something I could tell myself, because I'm a perfectionist. I tell Brother Blake all the time, I don't ever want to go into something without knowing how to do it, or at least having a blueprint. But, you know, just running on spirit, there is no real preparation for it. You just got to go with God with these things.
Awesome. St. Naomi, you'll kind of round us out on this piece. Preparation. When you think of preparation and, you know, going about getting ready for your responsibilities on the Sabbath, you know, what's worked for you? What has been some of your preparation journeys over the course of these 6 years for you?
Honestly, me personally, I feel like because I'm so in tune with spirit, not even just within Kagasak, but like spirituality overall, sometimes I could be asleep, and when I wake up out my sleep, a song automatically pops in my head, and that could either correspond with something that may happen, not, I wouldn't say to me, but like maybe among me later down the week, or like that day, and I just haven't recognized it yet. But overall, I'll say like singing, sometimes reading the Bible, it kind of like helps me prepare like my mind and spirit for Sabbath day. And I know sometimes I could go to bed and be Sabbath, Friday night, you know, I pray like I'll be in the right spirit, the right mind and heart for the next day. Because I know sometimes I wake up Sabbath day feeling groggy, like, really don't feel like going now. So it's just like something like St. Leah said, you just got to put it in God's hands. Like, certain situations you can't control, you just got to let it go and let God, you know, move it. But overall, I'll say preparation will be singing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, and I'll say just a couple of things. And I think, you know, what they say, know thyself, right? So you have to figure out what works for you in terms of, you know, your individual preparation. And just a couple of things that I know Brother Rich made mention about, you know, the having a list of songs. I've gone through, and I think as we mature and go through our, like I said, preparation process and just becoming more comfortable in front of the choir, yes, I've started with, you know, having lists, you know, getting lists together and having a certain playlist or playbook for, you know, the ceremonies and things like that. But then kind of the older that you get and you become a little bit more mature spiritually, that idea of, I think Brother Isaiah mentioned about reading the room, understanding what's needed for the people that week. Also, I'm not a big, our former leader said, watch as much of the news as you can stand, right? We talk about the so what's going on in the world today, right? My tolerance for the news is very low. However, it's important to know what's going on in the world as well, right? Because those things that are going on in the world affect us all, right? So when you come into the sanctuary, you'll kind of know some of the influences that are affecting us all, and that may temper or influence some of the songs that you select and some of the receptivity that you have amongst the people for that particular day. So that's another piece of the kind of the mental side of preparation. One thing that you'll hear from me often is the cerebral side of being a chorister, thinking about this thing. Again, going back to the marrying of spirit and logic, right? How do you do those two things when it comes to fulfilling your responsibilities, you know, as a chorister? The other piece of it is, you know, physical preparation, right? So not just with, you know, with my vocal, but making sure I'm trying to get enough rest, making sure that I'm being good to my voice, all right? What does that look like, all right? Maybe there may be some activities that I may not want to engage in, or if I do engage in them, having a certain cutoff time at a certain point during the week. You all know what I'm talking about, right? If I know the Sabbath comes every week, why would I want to put my body through certain things that are not going to let my body be at its optimal by Friday night and Sabbath day? So maybe some things that I do, you know, I might want to cut them off on Thursday night, Wednesday, you know what I'm saying? But we just, those are all things that I know myself, all right? So I kind of have to be honest with myself to know that if I want my body to be at its tip top shape on the beginning of the Sabbath and Sabbath day, I might need to drink a little bit more water, you know, may not want to do the whole dairy products and everything like that. Those are all another piece of preparation as well. And of course, just being in tune spiritually, right? Saint Naomi said about reading your Bible. Saint Leah mentioned that as well, just the spiritual preparation, you know, of it all. It is, as choristers, we are conduits, right? Conduits and agents of harmony. And harmony can be, you have musical harmony, right? I'm an agent of musical harmony, but I'm also an agent of the harmony amongst the tabernacle, right? So there are times when the chorister can really make a difference in the overall spirit of the day just by paying attention to what's going on with the people and what's going on over the course of the service. But you have to be prepared kind of coming in. You have to have your body ready to do all of that. You know, not only do we sing, we're asked to prance, we're asked to clap, we're asked to march, and we're asked to do that for about a 5-hour period on the Sabbath day, for about an hour and a half on the beginning of the Sabbath. Is my body ready? There will be some time, like Saint Lisa said, well, your body will do its own thing. You may not feel up to it, right? But like as Brother Rich said, if you have already kind of created a routine amongst your body where you know what you can work through. And like St. Lisa said, there may be sometimes I have to say, you know, it's just not my day for the sake of the service. You know, I'll support from my singer's seat and give it everything that I have from that regard. So I appreciate, you know, everything that you all mentioned in terms of the preparation piece. And there's so many pieces of the mental, the spiritual, the physical piece of it all that really helps us to really be at our best, you know, from week in and week out. So just kind of as we close out, I want to thank you all for what you brought to this, to today's inaugural session. This will be the first of many. There are so many things to talk about. We can't cover it all in one session. And some of what we talked about today may go across various sessions. But I do think this was a wonderful start to the program. Thank you so much for everything, the energy that you brought. You know, we're working with this technology piece in a way that we have not done before. Like St. Lisa, Brother Rich said, you know, a lot of this technology is new to us, but it's just part of the reality of what our younger choristers are working with. So just to be able to kind of reach out and reach across that intergenerational divide is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I just kind of want to end out with the purpose of the Choristers Lounge. And I think we were able to accomplish a lot of this today. The purpose of this podcast is to provide a platform where choristers can educate, encourage, support, and inspire each other in a space that is welcoming and enjoyable. This provides choristers an opportunity to network in a way that promotes intergenerational collaboration, unhindered by geographical separation. I think we did just that. So I thank you all for tuning into the Choristers Lounge. We welcome you again when the time comes. So thank you all so much. And with that, we will bring this inaugural session to a close.
Peace. Down and listen to the sounds of the singers in Choristers Lounge. There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down, so sit down, so sit down.